It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. Tonight, I kind of say tonight, it's this afternoon, we're looking at New Japan Pro Wrestling and three shows from last week, which included the Honor Rising Tour and the final show of Iska, Suzuki Gun's monster of all monsters, as Kazuchika Okada calls him. And to join me to discuss these three momentous occasions is Mr. Marcus Green of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Good. Glad to be back.
It's nice to have you back. What are you thinking of the New Japan product at the moment, and where do you think these shows sit for you in the shows of the year? Is the Honor Rising Tour something that you look forward to?
Yeah, for me, it really helped because it got me back into New Japan and caught me up on kind of what things are with Ring of Honor, because I had kind of fallen off. So it was a good combination of things. And of course, we know how that relationship has been going and you know, keeping things. I was definitely interested in seeing how things were going to work out because of obviously the visa issues, which are apparently now solved. So, but as far as where they rank, I think it just continues solid momentum, you know, coming off of, you know, their last big show. But, I think it definitely pushes momentum towards both of their company's individual big shows post this tour.
Okay, then. Well, we started on this first leg of this tour at Currican Hall with New Japan Road, Takashi Iizuka's, or Iska's, retirement show on the 21st of February. 1,726 people were in attendance on a show that was pretty damn good, I have to say. It was a lot of fun. It was some interesting matches, to say the least. And some interesting stuff that went down on this particular show. We started off with Robbie Eagles and Taiji Ishimori of Bullet Club. They defeated Jushin Thunder Liger and Yue Uemura in 7 minutes and 48 seconds. Robbie Eagles on this tour tends to only come in for spot shows. He did the Best of Super Juniors Tag League last year with Ishimori, but he is proving to himself to be a very vital part of your Bullet Club. And Thunder Liger and Taiji Ishimori had a big rivalry on this tour, setting them up for the anniversary show where Jushin Thunder Liger will take on Taiji Ishimori for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. What do you think of this one, Marcus?
I like this. You know, this was kind of really me seeing Robbie Eagles for an extended period of time, and I dig him. You know, like you said, he comes in for these spot shows, so that's, you know, that's cool. But he's definitely somebody that immediately works well in Bullet Club, like his style. Definitely like that, what do you call it, the backpack. Whatever the backpack move is.
Backpack stunner.
Yeah, that backpack stunner flip he does with it. And, I think he works well with Taiji and stuff like that. And, of course, you know, Taiji and Liger going back and forth has been fun to watch. But, definitely the biggest surprise for me has been over this whole tour has kind of been Eagles.
Yeah, definitely. He's really put in a lot of time trying to get himself over, and it's worked really, really well. Nice to see people from different kind of places in the world making it work in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Even if he's coming in, he doesn't waste his opportunities, and that's a really important thing. We'll talk a little more about Ishimori and Jushin Thunder Liger later on, because night two was something special. But moving on to the eight-man tag match, Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe and Tomiaka Honma with Tiger Mask and Toa Henare. They defeated Manabu Nakanishi, Ren Narita, Satoshi Kojima and Yotisuji. Yotisuji and Ren Narita are the young guns in this particular matchup, rookies from the dojo, though Narita has more experience and is looking set to be a top-flight junior heavyweight, I would think. That incredible belly-to-belly suplex he has with that high butcher's grip. Sorry, not Butcher's grip, it's a Gable grip, I'll get it right. It's fantastic, and the Currican Hall were really hot for what he was doing. Yotisuji, not as much experience, but certainly showing a good showing here. The rookies had a good day, but the veterans were the ones who were victorious. Just solid fun from this eight-man tag. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, same here. Another revelation for me on this tour has been some of these young lions, man. Even though they're limited in certain things they can do, you know, they very much can show out with intensity and fortitude and stuff like that. And I think Narita is a great example of that. It's not easy to step in there, you know, and go against Henry or, you know, Makabe and stuff like that. But he did and had a real good showing. And like you said, had a lot of moxie with him, but, you know, it was the veterans that held today. But, yeah, definitely another thing, you know, because we got more of him, I think, in some singles action. But, yeah, he's been another revelation. His young lives have come along quite well, to say they pretty much got a Boston Crab and a couple other things to work with.
So. Yeah, Narita's kind of like made that belly-to-belly suplex his own. It's the first time I've seen somebody do something unique with a belly-to-belly suplex since the Steiners. So that'll tell you how bad, you know, when the Steiners used to bust out belly-to-belly suplexes and then poor enhancement talents would go flying from one side of the ring to the other. Ren Narita isn't like that. It's much more subtle, but it is amazing to see. Right then, the next matchup was a bit of a barn burner. Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi defeat Shota Umino and Yuji Nagata in 13 minutes and 45 seconds. There is trouble brewing in this Chaos Regular Army marriage. Now, Shota Umino has been the star of this tour. I will say that before we get started. As a rookie, he is so, so good. He has so much presence. Me and Alex Edwards were talking about how good he was on the Baba Anniversary Show, the Baba Memorial Show last week. And he's just come on leaps and bounds. And it seems in the last 2 months, he's just become this awesome, awesome wrestler. And he did not look out of place in tagging with Nagata. Now, like I said, Regular Army and Chaos, they've been getting along pretty swell as of late. However, Tomohiro and Yuji have a few problems they need to work out, and they're working out by hitting each other really, really hard. Marcus, your thoughts?
No, I mean, you talked about the star. This was my other standout. I mean, he definitely is leaps and bounds and feels leaps and bounds ahead of the pack. I mean, be able to step in there, you know, against Ishii and Hashi, who, you know, obviously, you know, people have varying feelings about Hashi, but he can go when he gets in there. And for Umino to be able to stand as, I mean, if you didn't tell me he was a young lion, I wouldn't know.
Nah, he carries himself really well.
Yeah, he definitely feels like he fits in one of the factions perfectly. But yeah, I mean, he had a great showing. But really, man, this was kind of, this match was kind of the Ishii Nagata, you know, standoff, which all I can say for the two of them is ow, because that's all you can stand to get from these two. They do not hit soft by any stretch, but ended up coming down to Hashi and then Umino. It looks like, I think they mentioned this on commentary, like Hashi may take in, you know, a liking to Umino, but in certain instances, you know, Umino could be giving Hashi lessons.
Yeah.
In certain things.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely going to be interesting seeing what, you know, that does going forward, but definitely 100% agree with you. Umino is that next guy to really show out of the pack.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of broke down towards the end. Shota took the pinfall, as you'd imagine, was being the rookie. And then Yuji and Tomohiro kept banging at each other and pushing people out of the way. And Yoshihashi's good impression of a Glasgow Saturday night. It's not worth it, mate. It's not worth it. Well, maybe not Glasgow, North London, Saturday night. It's not worth it. Stand back. It's not worth it. was brilliant. But they calmed down in the end. But those two, I think they're heading for something quite special. Yuji is itching to do something cool, and Ishii hasn't got anything else to do at the moment. He's lost his Rev Pro British Championship. There's no belts available to him. Things are tied up with Chaos or tied up with Bullet Club and other deals to go forward. So until Tomohiro gets a shot at somebody, he's got to bang heads with Yuji Nagata, and I'm sure he will have a lot of fun doing that. Right. Next match was kind of an unofficial number one contenders match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Rapingi 3K, Sho and Yo, they defeated Suzuki-Gun, Desperado, and Yoshinobu Kanemura, and just showed how good this division is and how good these two teams are. This was really, really good. 12 minutes and 12 seconds. We've kind of seen a lot of these two teams together in the last 12 months, and they kind of are clicking really well. On that hand, you've got the things where we've kind of seen this before, but equally, it's awfully good when we do see it, isn't it, Marcus?
Yeah, man, just two really good, solid. I mean, you know, Kanemura and Desperado, you know, they had those straps for a while and kind of really went under the radar, you know, because obviously of all the Suzuki-Gun tactics that comes along with that, but they really were, you know, some real solid champions, and now running into Roppongi, who's for a while now been looking to climb back to the top of that mountain. It's just a great clash. I mean, you talk about two cohesive teams going at it, and yeah, like you said, really showing how, you know, great the division is. And again, watching the, you know, Roppongi 3K, and this is no disrespect to Rocky, but I really like seeing them without him. Like, yeah. They just, yeah, I just, you know, I find myself appreciating them more without him. I can kind of, you know, focus on them, because Rocky's not, you know, the guy trying to steal the spotlight, but sometimes he can be, you know, a big little distraction. So
yeah, I understand what you're saying with that, definitely. Next up was Hiroki Goto and Raisuke Taguchi in this Chaos Taguchi Japan crossover. They wrestled Takamichi Noko and Zack Sabre Jr. in a match as entertaining as you'd expect it to be. This odd couple of Goto and Taguchi, 10 minutes and 54 seconds. Taguchi getting the pin over Takamichi Noko, I believe. I can't remember exactly who took the pin in that one, but I think it was Taguchi taking a sneaky one. But they had all of the Taguchi Japan spots mixed in with all the Chaos spots, and they pulled them all off, and it was fun. And that's really what this match was about.
Yeah, same here. It was definitely interesting seeing Taguchi out of his usual element. Of course, my boy Goto, who takes things a tad bit more seriously on his end. Like you said, they definitely pulled it off, and you got to, when you know, even without Taka being there, just Zack Sabre Jr. alone being in there is a threat, you know, to any two men. So, you know, they definitely got it done.
Yeah, 10 minutes and 54 seconds. A thoroughly enjoyable matchup, which was more about entertainment than wrestling, but it was some very good wrestling in it as well. Our semi-main event was a bit more serious business. Taoshi Tanahashi and Will Ospreay defeat Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer in 12 minutes and 50 seconds. KES getting to the semi-main event is a bit noteworthy. They haven't done anything serious for a while, and this was an outstanding performance for them against Tanahashi and Ospreay. Kind of a bit of an odd one, where the regular tag team didn't beat the established stars, because usually, you know, they kind of go with the specialist taking the win. This one didn't happen here. Tanahashi and Ospreay took the win, but it was kind of really showcasing Ospreay. It wasn't really about Tanahashi at all. It was more about Ospreay and showing he could take on these big monsters and really do well. As he said at the end, junior heavyweight, my ass. Now, as you know, on this show, Young William has not had the best of rides because of the things he saw on social media. But that aside, I never ever said he wasn't a fantastic wrestler, and he still is. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
Yeah, 100% agree. It's been a while since I got a chance to see KES and all their KES ways, but this was, you know, fun. I always love seeing those guys. When they step in that ring, they're 100% business from bell to bell. And, you know, like you said, they usually give the nod to the more established cohesive team. But, I mean, Tanahashi and Ospreay at this stage in the game was almost like a dream team-up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, to see those two, you know, clash, and obviously, you know, Tana coming off the, you know, dropping it to White, you know, it's kind of cool to see him, you know, giving a nod, you know, and like you said, the momentum went to Ospreay, who has been having to prove himself with this never open weight situation, which is ironic because it seemed like he felt like more like he was doing more, I guess, heavyweight, dangerous type of never open weight risk when he was more of a junior. As opposed to and what he's doing now that he's more grounded with it. But I think he's doing a great job with that open weight title.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be interesting who steps up against him.
He did try the Stormbringer on Davey Boy Smith, but he couldn't do it. So that was that told a little. That planted some seeds. We'll talk about that a bit later. but yeah, 12 minutes and 50 seconds. Good matchup. Sets up Will Ospreay as a guy who could seriously deal with hella heavyweights. Good storytelling long term. The main event of the evening featured Kazuchika Okada, Tori Yano tagging with Hiroshi Tenzan, and they defeated Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, and Takahashi Iizuka in 22 minutes and 14 seconds of, honestly, the best match I've seen Iskra in about 10 years. I'll be... It was just brilliant. It was an epic storytelling battle. Takahashi... Isaac Iska went into a match against the three people he betrayed. Hiroshi Tenzan, most famously, he betrayed in the Best Friends tag team. Tori Yano, he betrayed as a member of Chaos to join Suzuki-Gun. And Kazuchika Okada, his former trainee, who he betrayed to join Suzuki-Gun. And it was a bit of an emotional roller coaster ride for the monster of all monsters. He did, in the end, shaking Tenzan's hand, but then the evil took over. and there is no humanity left in Iska. And he, you know, he finally vowed against any goodness.
Yeah.
And beat up Tenzan with the help of Suzuki and Tai Chi. This was, though, a really, really good match. Iska wasn't always the run-around dangerous person that he has been for the last 10 years, and he got to show some of that. He used the sleeper, which was his old finisher when he was a quote-unquote normal wrestler. He used a leg bar and a few other things as well. He actually put together a seasoned wrestling match for his finish. So it was quite the fun thing to see him go in that sense. I mean, he's had ups and downs in his careers. He's had a long, long, long career, over 30 years. Like we said the other week, he was on the very first Tokyo Dome show we reviewed on the Beginner's Guide to Japan, and he was still wrestling until last weekend. So your thoughts on this match, Marcus, and your thoughts on Iska and what you've been seeing the last 4 or 5 years as you've been watching New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, after watching this match, I was eagerly anticipating getting to hear you, and obviously you drop all that background knowledge on me, because obviously I came into New Japan doing, you know, Iska's, you know, dog on a leash, mad, running around phase. So, you know, the unfortunate part about this, as good a message as was, that I couldn't have the emotional weight that came along with watching him before that and having the backstory with him betraying all his partners. I've only known him from being in Suzuki Gun and kind of being there almost, you know, ready to go pit bull at all times. So, definitely doesn't take away from the match, but I'm glad you know, kind of filled in those spots. And, you know, for me, of course, for me, it was just kind of Iska and Minoru, because I don't acknowledge the third guy that was with him. But it was a good, solid thing nonetheless, and I'm glad, you know, people don't always get to go out, you know, on a high note, you know, the way they want to in this business in general, so that was just cool to see.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you get that, obviously, the respect from the crowd, and that, and obviously you're going to get your usual shenanigans when you anything Suzuki Gun related, but the crowd related that specifically, ripping off the shirt and all that stuff, so that was cool.
Yeah, it was. Just to give you an idea, though, Hiroshi Tenzan was his opponent in that first match at the Tokyo Dome we covered from 1993, when me and Alex Watt had a look at Super Brawl in New Japan Starcade in the Superdome. That was it. It's Starcade in the Tokyo Dome. I'll get it right. Yeah, when me and Alex, that was the one with the Flair Fujinami main event and Chosu versus Tiger Jeet Singh in that bloody awful street fight. That was the one that was the first card that he appeared on in the Tokyo Dome show that we covered, which was 36 years ago or 26 years ago, which tells you how long, you know, the guy's been wrestling. He is an institution. He was head trainer at the dojo for a long while. He was responsible for a lot of guys like Tetsuya Naito and for Kazuchika Okada. He's had he's slowed down in recent years. He didn't do every tour last year. He wasn't on every show. But, you know, when I first started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling on a regular basis and watching every pay-per-view again in 2012-13, he was on every show, and he was a World Tag Team Champion with Yano, and, you know, he was going some. Even with the character he had, he was telling stories, and he managed to reinvent himself after years of slowly dwindling in interest as he went through his career because he was quite boring. He managed to get an extra leg in his career that another 10 years that other people just don't get. So he's a very smart man. Don't let first impressions fool you.
Yeah.
All right, then we move on to the actual Ring of Honor New Japan on a Rising tour. Did you watch the first night, Marcus? Because we did agree to just do the last night, didn't we?
Yeah, I did catch some of that first night.
I watched some of the first night as well. So we should go through the first night. We'll go match by match and see which ones we've actually seen. Mighty Skrull defeats Ren Narita in 11 minutes and 33 seconds. Really, really good matchup this. Again, Ren Narita showing how good he can be. Mighty Skrull giving him plenty as well. He didn't just shut him down, which was the obvious thing to do. A lot of fun this matchup, but Ren Narita is going to be a star.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, kudos to the Skrull, one of those guys who, you know, I think may have mentioned this on or off, you know, unnecessarily getting in the semi or the main events, but definitely making the most of the spots that he is in and really helping a lot of these guys, you know, like Ren Narita and Robbie Eagles, you know, get some shine. And why not taking the spotlight off himself? So, you know, that's that speaks to the level of talent Skrull is as well.
Yeah, definitely. Just fun. And Mighty Skrull seems to have kind of found his place with not being a member of Bullet Club for a start, which is kind of, it was a bit of a switch, to be honest with you. It was,
yeah.
But it was good. Definitely very, very good. Next matchup was Zack Sabre Jr. with Takemichi Noko. He defeated Shota Umino in 13 minutes and 56 seconds, which is a big thing. Going over 10 minutes with an established star means someone wants a good look at what you are doing. And Shota nearly pulled out of the bag on a couple of occasions. This was really, really good. Zack did win, and he did beat Shota for the effrontery of trying to beat Zack Sabre Jr. with an armbar. How dare he? But other than that, Shota showed a really good showing for himself. Again, he just looks amazing. Marcus, what's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I had to stop it and rewind. I'm like, he didn't just go for an armbar.
He went for an armbar on Zack Sabre Jr.
Because in my mind, I'm like, Sabre shouldn't even sell this. It's like we immediately went to Lucha Underground or something. Like, what is this Elseworld? yeah, I mean, like you said, it's 100% another good showing for Umino. And in this stage in the game and in New Japan and wrestling in general, taking an L to Zack Sabre Jr. is nothing to frown at.
Yeah.
Trust me, he's beating some of the toughest SOBs. You know, in New Japan, and tapped him out. So, you know, tapping him out is, you know, an alleviation depending on the hold he's got you in. But again, you know, this is just another great showing for Umino.
Yeah, definitely. And Umino's got some big tricks up his sleeve. That Fisherman Buster, he's got that top rope drop kick. He's just got some stuff that most of the rookies don't get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be really, really good. Next up was a very, very interesting tag match. Jonathan Gresham and Jushin Thunder Liger defeat Bullet Club, Robbie Eagles, and Taiji Ishimori in 5 minutes and 27 seconds. I am not wrong. I am reading that out. That is right. 5 minutes and 27 seconds, and Taiji Ishimori only lasted 8 seconds in the ring. The previous 5 minutes and 19 seconds were all Jonathan Gresham and Robbie Eagles. Taiji tagged in, Jushin Thunder Liger tagged in. One Mahistoria Cradle later, Taiji Ishimori was leaving the ring livid because he got beat by the 11-time champ.
Don't sleep on the old dogs, man.
No, do not do that.
Teach a new trick every time. You know, Liger in this stage of the game got a lot of moves in his arsenal, but he's not looking to hit the big one to get the win. He's just looking to get the win.
It was.
By any means necessary. So, you know, Taiji got a little overzealous, and he got a good preview of what could potentially happen at the anniversary show.
And Jonathan Gresham and Robbie Eagles were fantastic. Jonathan Gresham, a member of CCK, you know, Calamari Catch Club. Calamari Catch Kings, I'll get it right. And, you know, he really does rely on that European catch-as-catch-can all-in style. And going up against Robbie Eagles, a guy who can hang with that kind of mat style. It was thoroughly entertaining to watch. But it eventually broke down to a win for the veteran. And can he make it 12 times at the anniversary show, Marcus? What do you think?
I'm kind of iffy on it. I mean, you can never really count. Like I said, Liger is, you know, you have to say legend. We have to, right after you say Liger. But, yeah, I think that kind of opened Ishii's eyes a little bit. You know, because he's a little bit more calculated. I think people give him credit for, because sometimes obviously when he takes off that mask, he can get a little sporadic. But yeah, I think this was an eye opener for him. So I think Liger's gonna give him a hell of a time, but I think Ishimori might put it out.
Okay, we shall see. But again, it's such good storytelling. Ishimori wants to prove himself to be the ace of the company. Doesn't want to be a flash in the pan, and they need it because, you know, they've lost Kushida. And I know you're probably quite still sad about that, Marcus, so I don't want to harp on it.
Yeah, I mean, you're losing Kushida in the void that was also left by Takahashi.
Yeah, you know, till Hiromu gets back. It doesn't feel like, I was saying this a lot last year when I was writing columns for Steel Chair Magazine, it felt like they're spinning the wheels till Hiromu gets back. This did not feel like that. This feels like a new story that they're trying to build something around, and I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, the next matchup was Lifeblood, Dave Finley and Juice Robinson, Toa Henare and Tamaki Honma. Well, they're not part of Lifeblood, they're part of GBH. Let's try that again. Lifeblood, Dave Finley and Juice Robinson, that's part of the Ring of Honor faction with Tennille Dashwood and various other people. Toa Henare and Tamaki Honma, they defeated Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, and the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, in 12 minutes and 14 seconds. Hikuleo and Jado were in the corner of Gorillas of Destiny. didn't help much. That was a bit of a hindrance, and this is what you get when you try and match up a Chaos team with a Bullet Club team. It just doesn't work. It's like oil and water. Who thought this was a good idea? In my little kayfabe world. But yeah, this was a good matchup until that point. Everyone showing off all their cool moves. But yeah, it was kind of like Homma kind of got lost in the shuffle, but at the moment I don't mind that because he's not particularly very good till he gets himself sorted out, which is going to take a while by the looks of things. But certainly, you know, again, we're not big fans of the Briscoes on here because they tend to be somewhat, well, let's say, blunt, homophobic. And they've not said some nice things over social media over down the years, but there is no denying they're one of the best tag teams that's ever walked God's green earth, and this was a lot of fun to watch with these guys in it. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
Yeah, it's funny you talk about mixing a Bullet Club team with Chaos, and I'm kind of just, you know, looking at it on the other side where I'm like, okay, you mixed, you know, off on the opposite of Lifeblood, you got a specific brand of a-hole but another specific brand of a-hole, and it didn't mix. like Bullet Club are a specific type of kind of guys, and obviously we know, you know, who and what the Briscoes have always been, and that just didn't gel. You talk about oil and water, that didn't gel whatsoever. that was as this match was going on, you could see the fuse slowly getting down to the bomb, and eventually it blew.
Yes, as Jado managed to crack Mark with a kendo stick by accident, thus causing the pinfall. And it led to news on night two, but it was a thoroughly entertaining setup match. Shuisuke Taguchi, Togi Makabe, and Tari Yano defeated Cheeseburger, Colt Cabana, and Delirious in 10 minutes and 16 seconds of what should have been a pretty decent comedy championship matchup. Marcus, did you see this one?
Yeah, this is not my particular cup of tea. Maybe too much comedy for me. And also, you know, not a big Colt Cabana guy. And Delirious, just, he's weird to me for some reason.
Hang on a second. You've just dismissed the majority of indie wrestling for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I guess I did. It's great stuff out there besides these two, though.
Okay.
100%. But, yeah, this was a side of Cheeseburger tends to impress me a lot. You know, Yano is his own entity. Mitsuguchi and how he works with, you know, those two is just great. But for me, this may have been a little too much.
Well, I must admit, I did not get a chance to see it. I did see the fallout for this match. Colt Cabana did not see that Delirious was low-blowed, and he took exception to shaking hands with Yamakabe, Yano, and Taguchi at the end of the match, showing a bit of code of honor there, and that led up to a tag match on night two, which we'll talk about in a little while. Next up, showing some more serious offense, was Will Ospreay. He defeated Dalton Castle in a match for the NEVER Openweight Championship. 17 minutes and 30 seconds. Kind of a mismatch of styles. Donald Castle is a true heavyweight. Amateur wrestler, big background. Despite his flamboyant style, Will Ospreay trying to prove he is as good as that championship belt and can hang with the heavier guys. 17 minutes and 30 seconds. Sounds like it was a barnstormer. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, this was solid. Two really top talents. I just don't know if Dalton really had everything needed in the arsenal to match Ospreay, but he definitely gave him a run for his money. But in the end, Ospreay, edged him out. And of course, Dalton continuing to tell that story, coming off that back, his health issues and getting over that, and still selling that whole thing and telling that story. So that's good as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look comfortable, whether it's real or imagined. He's either telling that story exceptionally well, or he's actually in some serious discomfort.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all worth it, and kind of like a bit subdued. No boys, no big entrance. It was, you know, on this particular tour. I mean, this was certainly on the tag match. Did he do the big entrance on the night before, on the first night?
Yeah, he brought the boys out.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing, and kind of just, you know, proving it, kind of saying out loud, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm 100%. I was like, okay, you show. As soon as something happens, it's like, you know, doing the Shawn Michaels. But, you know.
We'll see. But it's an interesting story to tell with a top-notch babyface, because you kind of, once he's got to the championship once, the story is, how does he get back there, isn't it?
Yep, definitely.
Okay, next was the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Jeff Cobb successfully defends against Hirooki Goto, 13 minutes and 52 seconds. This match has been brewing for about a year and a half. Every ROH tour, every big show, these two end up squaring off against each other. Goto got a win at Ring of Honor over Jeff Cobb in a non-title match recently. That's what led to this. And Cobb puts him away in 13 minutes and 52 seconds. What's your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
Always makes me cringe watching my boy Goto take an L, but Cobb is, you know, that guy right now. It's been cool to see them go back and forth and stuff, and you know, just to see Goto get this title shot. I mean, because this feels like it's been coming off, you know, ever since I guess Goto had the never open weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This kind of stuff has been brewing between the two of them. So, yeah, to see, you know, Cobb rise, get the TV title the way he did, and then obviously turn that with Goto has been fun. And these two have a good chemistry in the ring. So this was a fun one.
Yeah, definitely. Right, the next matchup was Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jay Lethal, and Kazuchika Okada. Bit of a dream team, Regular Army, Chaos, and Ring of Honor represented together. They defeated The Kingdom, Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marcella. TK O'Ryan would get a shot at the Ring of Honor World Championship the following night. Again, this is kind of setting things up for other things down the line, but still, I guess it was a lot of fun to watch the dream team together.
Yeah, same here. You know, you know, on first glance, I don't know if these are the three guys I would initially put up against, you know, the dream team, if you will. But, you know, the Kingdom is proven time and time again that if they can't match guys on athleticism or strength or what have you, they can, you know, definitely do it with, you know, yeah, that kind of sneaky mentality, if you will, just their underhanded tactics at times. So, you know, they did their thing. But again, like you said, this was kind of more so just kind of watching the dream team together, because this has been the, you know, really a ride for Okada and Tanahashi fans so far. And then adding Lethal in the mix, you know, to kind of continue that story with, you know, the world title. Because we all know Taven's obsessed with the title.
Yeah.
But to see tag team partner potentially get that shot has been interesting. So, yeah, solid affair, but nothing to, you know, blow anything out of the water.
Okay, then. We go to the next night. Jonathan Gresham, this time tagging with Toa Henare against Takemichi Inoki and Zack Sabre Jr. 12 minutes and 20 seconds. They take the victory in a thoroughly entertaining matchup. Gresham was on fire in this matchup. Toa Henare, again, has shown great improvements, showing a lot more aggression than he has done in the past. Zack and Taka were just not on the right page for this match, but it doesn't really hurt Zack. It was Taka that took the pinfall. What did you think of this one, Marcus?
Yeah, Doug, it's same here. Same looking at Henare, coming out looking strong. And any time, you kind of know what to expect at this point. As many times as Gresham and Zack is locked up now. So, but it never gets old, because those two are brilliant at what they do. So, you know, yeah, like you said, it was kind of Taka throwing everything off. But, you know, so because of that, he took the pin. So.
Next up was Marty Scurll. He defeated Robbie Eagles in 8 minutes and 55 seconds. The man who replaced him in Bullet Club. And to be honest, I don't think they played that up enough. I would have liked that, like, you know, hey, I took your spot kind of deal coming from Robbie Eagles, because that's essentially what happened. But it was a much more kind of confident, overall kind of performance from Marty Scurll. Dominated a lot of the match, though Robbie Eagles has showed something really special in this matchup too.
Yeah, like you said, they really didn't play that element up at all. I guess because it's like, it's kind of, I guess, kind of hard to play that element up when the club that I guess he replaced him in is elsewhere, that version of it anyway. But, you know, still, that could have been an element here. But, you know, again, that doesn't take away from what they did. This was definitely a fun one. And, you know, just showing what these two could do. And it's, again, it's always cool to see Scurll finish that match with a proper chicken wing. So, you know, this was a fun one.
I'm wondering if Bullet Club, like, the official historians of Bullet Club have just, like, wiped out the All Elite era of Bullet Club. You know, Kenny and Cody didn't really exist as leaders. It went from AJ Styles to Jay White. We just don't talk about those 2 years. There was some unpleasantness. Or not enough unpleasantness. Next matchup was the retelling of the story from the previous evening. Cheeseburger and Delirious took on Colt Cabana and Tori Yano in 10 minutes and 9 seconds of an absolutely barnstorming matchup with near falls aplenty. This was like watching, I mean, Luthez this in comparison to some things I've seen lately. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. It did everything it says on the tin. It was just hilariously put together just to kind of make people smile. And I was happy enough with that. You know, and it is kind of like, I mean, can you remember you kind of like drag on Delirious for being Delirious, but how many other chief creative officers of wrestling companies would do this for fun?
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. And maybe, you know, dialing it back and kind of just looking, because it's like Toro, man. You either 100% in or you're not with that guy. And that's kind of what this match was, you know. So I kind of just, you know, just sat back and enjoyed it for him. You really had to just sit back and enjoy a match like this for what it is. You know, when you got a guy like Yano, you're anticipating ripping the pad off and whatnot, and Cheeseburger comes with his own thing, and Cole Cabana is just, you know, really plays to the crowd. So, yeah, this definitely was not match of the night, but it wasn't trying to be. So, you know, and then the part at the end with the ice bag, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yes, Colt did take a shot to the gonads, which Taru iced down for him and then got the referee to ice it down, who in turn got a young boy to ice it down for him.
So that's what you call passing the buck.
Yes, yes. Marty Asami passing on the indignity of it all. Okay, then next up was another tag team match. Chaos, Hiroki Goto and Will Ospreay. They defeated Dalton Castle and Jeff Cobb. Will Ospreay got the Stormbreaker on Jeff Cobb. Big story there. Getting a big 300-pounder, muscling him up, and beating the Ring of Honor television champion in the process. This was a story, again, about getting Ospreay over as a guy who can hang with heavyweights. And was probably a slightly better team, I think, than one we had with Tanahashi, even though it was very, very good. Goto and Ospreay have been tagging together for about a year and a half now, so that, you know, kind of put a spin on them being a good tag team. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, if you know, I mean, you know, another thing I like about Goto, like I said, it was 100% business. As long as you're not trying to Jay White him, he can pretty much jail with most guys. And, you know, Jeff Cobb and Dalton Castle are a unique pair. But yeah, I definitely dug this. And, you know, Ospreay and Goto are two of my favorites. So to see them get that win was fun. And also, like you said, just continue to build that stuff of Ospreay, because he does have something to prove, not only with that kind of go hand in hand, because he's, you know, elevated to heavyweight. And to do that championship by way of how it's been, you know, defended in the style in which it's been defended, kind of go hand in hand. So, you know, he almost has to do that kind of stuff to guys like Jeff Cobb, or God forbid he runs in Fale. try to do stuff like that. So
open weight says what it means, what it says on the tin. Open to anybody in pro wrestling that wants to come and have a shot. So we'll see what happens there. Next up was a match between Shingo Takagi and Tetsuya Naito versus Matt Taven and Vinnie Marseille. 11 minutes and 50 quid as... 50 quid? What am I talking about? 11 minutes and 50 seconds as The Kingdom take another loss. This was an interesting matchup for various reasons. Matt Taven betrayed Los Ignorables in Mexico. That's the reason why he has a haircut now, because he had his head shaved in a loser must lose their hair match. He turned on Tetsuya Naito and Shingo Takagi's brothers in Los Ignorables, and that does not bode well for Tranquilo himself. This was an incredibly good matchup given the amount of time that they had. It packed an awful lot of stuff in. And for a guy like me who doesn't watch Ring of Honor on a regular basis, it was my first look at Vinnie Marseille, and I have to say he's definitely worth the price of admission. He has earned his spot in that particular company and is doing good things, and I want to see more of him. But yeah, Shingo Takagi and Tetsuya Naito were on another planet in this matchup. You know, LIJ, we talk about the factions and their tag-like science, but LIJ are on it. And the fact that Naito can't stand Taven really showed in this matchup. It was a very interesting little aside story for everybody to enjoy. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
It's hard to say I like watching a faction more than in wrestling right now than LIJ. They're just smooth, man. They're just smooth and every, you know, sense of the word. So anytime they're in the ring, probably, you know, rooting for those guys. And the Kingdom held on. You made no mistake about it. I think, you know, guys like Vinny, myself, and TKO Ryan are great additions on the side of Taven, who might not necessarily get the type of energy he's going for on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
So to put those guys, I think, has really helped. And appreciate you for giving me that history, you know, with the whole betrayal of LIJ, who, to be honest, I don't think Matt Taven, he's got like the Adam Cole, you know, going in the Bullet Club, he couldn't really fit in LIJ.
No.
So I'm glad, you know, that kind of worked out how it did. So, but yeah, but definitely a fun one, you know, they kind of told that story of Takagi, you know, taking a lot of the punishment and Naito kind of being kept out of it, you know, which was kind of the strategy. And obviously Naito came in and cleaned up. But another solid outing.
Yeah, definitely. You also have to bear in mind the Los Ignorables is not a Japanese faction. It's a Mexican faction that got adopted by Jado and Gedo because they're very smart people.
Yeah.
All right, the next was a Ring of Honor World title match. Jay Lethal defeated TK Orion 10 minutes and 52 seconds. Given its billing, probably wasn't going to be a title change, let's be honest. This was the third match from the end. There was other business that was considered more important, but it was very good business. Having said that, TK Orion in a big spot on a big show in his first trip to Japan, mind you, really gave himself a good showing. He doesn't look out of place in this position. He wasn't fantastic. He could have been better. But, you know, to get this far and how long he's been in Ring of Honor and, you know, what's going on with the company at the minute, he certainly seems to carry that spot well enough, though I think there's room for improvement. Jay Lethal was freaking Jay Lethal. He was very, very good. What's your thoughts on this matchup, Marcus?
I think you covered it all. I mean, you know, cool to see him get that spot. It was interesting seeing him outside of the tag form, but he definitely got put with the right kind of guy. You know, Jay Lethal's not selfish in that ring, you know, so definitely that helped. Definitely can be some improvements, but, you know, you can only, you know, show that and, you know, from a fan angle, from a talent perspective, see what he's improving by putting him in positions like this. So, you know, if he is going to eventually get out on his own one day, I think this is a good opportunity for him to test himself against a guy like Lethal, who, again, like I said, is not selfish. But as you said, there was really never no doubt going into this match. So, you know.
Right then, we get on to the serious business and the reason why we had to cover this show compared to the other one, because this was a title change. Guerrillas of Destiny take their fifth IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. They defeat Los Ignorables de Japón, Evil and Sanada in 20 minutes and 26 seconds in a thunderous tag match. As good as there's been a tag match this year, this really showed GOD could be when they want to, they can be one of the best tag teams on the planet. And Evil and Sanada were just on song throughout this match, though you kind of got the feeling they were going to lose, I think, as well. They've been kind of telegraphing some things over the last years, the last 3 months, or last 2 months or so. They nearly lost to a rookie team in Shota Umino and Yoshida not long ago. And there's been some chinks in the armor since they took the titles. And, of course, they didn't beat GOD. They beat the Young Bucks at Wrestle Kingdom. So it was interesting to see how this story played out. But you've got your Guerrillas of Destiny. Now, arguably the greatest active tag team in New Japan Pro Wrestling. 20 minutes and 26 seconds with a little bit of help from Jado. Marcus, your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Yeah, it was interesting because I felt like I caught between a rock and a hard place because I love Sanada and Evil, but I'm a GOD guy all day. And, you know, it's, that Mr. Good Guy thing that Tonga had going on, I'm kind of glad it's over. It was interesting, but I'm glad it's, you know, done. Just two of the best going at it, you know, trading tag team moves and all that good synergy that both these teams got. But it just came down to, you know, getting out with a little help from my friend. So, you know, again, what this makes GOD, what, six-time champs or five-time?
Five times tag team champions of the world. The only two teams with more, I believe, are Masahiro Chono and Tenzan and Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima. Team 2000 and Tenkozy, I believe, are the only two teams that have more tag team championships. I don't quote me on that, but definitely Tenkozy have six. But they're currently active. I guess they could win the championships again. Unlikely low in this setting, and certainly won't do for a while, given what we found out after the main event.
Yeah, digging in course with a tag team like Sonata and Evil, you have to go for that avalanche powerbomb, which is sick. So, another solid match will be interesting. Obviously, I guess we'll be seeing a rematch coming up, but I don't see GOD dropping those straps specifically with Gato in their corner. So.
Yeah, not for a long while yet. Anyway, we shall see. The main event fitted Lifeblood, Dean Finlay and Juice Robinson, 17 minutes and 30 seconds. They lost to Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe, the Briscoe brothers. Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles on the line. An outstanding performance from Finjuice, I have to say, though Dave Finlay ended the match with a dislocated shoulder. He isn't quite sure. He needs an MRI to get it sorted out. He flew back to Atlanta the next day. And if you can think about flying from Tokyo to Atlanta with a dislocated shoulder and no sleeping pills or pain medication with a homemade sling in economy, just think about that. Because that's what he did. Them Finleys are made of something else, aren't they, Marcus?
Yeah, that's for sure. that goes without saying. He is the son of one of the toughest of all time. This was a solid match. That ended kind of made me cringe because I was like, "You're taking advantage!" Like I got a little off right there. But I mean, you know, what else are you gonna expect somebody? I mean, the match is still going on, and that's vintage Briscoe to do something like that. And, you know, God bless Juice. He just couldn't get back in there. But yeah, man. You know, shout out to David. You know, me and James always champion. David always gives us all one of those guys who can kind of get kind of overlooked, but always, you know, puts out really solid performances and just didn't go his way at the end here.
No.
So, you know, hopefully it's not too serious and it's just a, you know, dislocation and, you know, he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, David as well lost a lot of weight recently. Looks trimmer, looks slimmer, looks better than he has done in the past. And I kind of get the feeling he was probably getting wound up for a bit of a push, to be honest with you, but that's kind of got derailed now. Hopefully he's back as soon as he can be. Now, the Briscoes won it clean, and when they won the championships, Jay Briscoe got on the microphone and said, Madison Square Garden, April the 6th. G.O.D., your belts versus ours, and that is your tag team match for April the 6th at Madison Square Garden. The Briscoes, Ring of Honor, 10-time tag team champions, versus Guerrillas of Destiny, 5 times IWGP Tag Team Champions, the best tag team in Ring of Honor versus the best tag team in New Japan, and it's for all the marbles. That was a huge announcement for that particular show.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. That could potentially steal the show right there. Like you said, no matter how, you know, we feel about the Briscoes, they are, you know, two of the best to ever do it, and then you put them against G.O.D., who, of course, that's going to be who I'm in the corner of. But yeah, that's huge.
It is.
It's almost so huge, making me to the point like, oh, they gonna let this go, you know, to 100% finish, because they're not, you know, when it's something like that, I'm almost nervous. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely, it's gonna be something really, really, really cool. Now, the next major event we have for New Japan Pro Wrestling is the anniversary show. Which will take place quite soon. I'm not exactly sure of the date. I think it's this week. Probably, well, it's on the actual anniversary day. There is no nailed down matches other than, I know that, Jushin Thunder Liger challenges Taiji Ishimori for the Junior Heavyweight Championship, which has gone against the grain in previous years where the Junior Heavyweight Champion has wrestled the Heavyweight Champion, whereas they're both in Bullet Club at the moment. That was probably advisable not to. And it looks like that young William Ospreay has challenged Jay White to a non-title match. As is traditional at anniversary, there is never an IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. It was always a challenge match for a non-title event. Makes something different, gives a different approach to the wrestling. So, you know, you've got people trying to get on the make there. And I think Jay White would probably accept that challenge, I would think, though he was a bit reticent from what I understand. But the big announcement from this particular tour was that the New Japan Cup this year will not be for a shot at one of the singles titles. It will be a shot for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship at Madison Square Garden on April the 6th, the night before WrestleMania, which again was massive news. The other big news was the fact this year New Japan's Cup has 32 entrants, not 16 like normal. We're going big this year, aren't we, Marcus?
Yeah, that's for sure.
So we are going to go run down all the names and preview the show for you so that you can start thinking ahead. You can get your brackets out. If you go to Wikipedia, look up New Japan Cup, scan down to 2019. You can do your brackets and make your choices. If you want to send us pictures of your choices, we will quietly comment on them and see what we think. Well, we're going to go through match by match what's going to happen. Round one, it takes place on the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th of March. So that's the tail of beginning of next week and most of next week. This is going to be like the G1. Trying to catch up with this like it's going to take us forever. But we shall try. Yuji Nagata faces Tomohiro Ishii. What's your thoughts, Marcus?
I gotta be honest. I think I'll give slight edge and give it to seeing Blue Justice pull it out.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. I'm kind of going to go with Ishii, I have to say. We have dissent. We'll see what happens there. Tomiaki Honma faces Tai Chi. Not really care what happens here, to be honest with you.
Yep, why would you?
Moving on. Manubi Nakanishi versus Yoshihashi. Chaos. Got to go with Yoshihashi. What about you, Marcus?
Yeah, same here. Same here. So Yoshihashi.
Oh, two Troopany show favorites. U.S. heavyweight champion Juice Robinson takes on Chase Owens in the first round.
Oh, man. Again, torn. And I got to... I'm a juicy guy. I'm a juicy guy. So I got to go wearing juice.
Kazuchika Okada seems to have a bye in the first round. I can't quite make out the name. This guy is... Nah. Yeah, Okada wins that. Mikey Nichols versus Hikuleo.
Yeah, you know, I gotta pull for Hikuleo. He's back, and I haven't really seen a lot of singles actions, you know, with him. So I'm pulling for him.
If you don't know who Mikey Nichols is, he was in TDMK, the Mighty Don't Kneel, TMDK, that's the one. And I can't remember the name in NXT. He recently asked for his release from NXT, and within days of his 90 days contract release, was signed to Chaos in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I'm going to have to go with Mikey Nichols.
Wow.
As he's a Chaos guy.
Yeah, you just put two pieces of the puzzle together. TM61, that's what they... Yeah.
There was the one, yeah. But of course, back in the day, in their days in Noah, their best mate was Toriano.
Nice. Yeah. Nice, man. Kind of missed that whole Mighty Don't Kneel thing, but I guess when you know you get stifled enough, you know, you'll be like, man, I'm missing me with this tag team stuff. I'm going out on my own, so... That's going to be definitely interesting, but I think I'm still pulling for Hikuleo there.
I think the thing is, you know him from NXT, I know him from Noah.
So between us,
we've got a rough idea of where he's done. He is very good, though.
Yes.
You kind of like spitballed this idea earlier, and I didn't think it would happen so soon. Bad Luck Fale versus Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I'm already cringing for Will Ospreay's back. You better stick to that ass cutter, buddy. Because Fale is one of those guys that'll surprise you, man. You know, we talked about Fale in the past, and he's been another guy that's, you know, kind of definitely changed his body over time. They kind of enhanced some of that maneuverability. But yeah, you want to be a heavyweight, he's meet your wall. This will definitely be a test, but I'm pulling for the Aerial Assassin. It'll be cool to see if something like transpired where he like did some type of unique flip out of the Bad Luck Fall, where he throw him and he hit a flip out of it. That'll be cool. Baby, I'm comic book booking right there, but yeah, I'm pulling for Ospreay.
Toa Henry versus Lance Archer. A lot of grunting, I believe, would go on in this match.
God bless the people in the audience, as always, dealing with Lance Archer. I'm gonna go with Henry for this.
Yeah, it's just gonna be two grown men spitting at each other for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Hiroshi Tanahashi. I should give you a prediction. I'm gonna agree with you. I think Henry's probably got it a little bit on singles experience as of late. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Shota Umino. Obviously, Tanahashi's gonna win, but by God, it's gonna be good.
I think I'm pulling for Umino just out of my underdog heart. Like, I know it's not nothing is debatable when it comes to Tanahashi, but you just got to root for somebody like Umino, who, like I said, doesn't. If I didn't look at him and like, okay, he looks to be, because of his color and because of his tights, it looks to be from the dojo. I wouldn't know, and that speaks volumes to him. So, a test against the ace. This is gonna be fun.
Okay, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, in probably what might be his last New Japan Cup, has not got an opponent yet, has not been announced, so we will have to see.
You know what would be a great slap there?
Who's
Okada.
That? Interestingly, not announced for this tournament. Yet.
Because he, you know, like we said earlier, Okada has a bye, so...
Yeah, well, was it Okada? I didn't think we had Okada. No, I was talking about... Oh, yeah, it was Okada. He is announced. My bad. Ignore me. Yes. Moving on. Okada is... Yes, he has a bye. Of course he does. Sorry. That's the reason why I was... Yeah. A bye. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. Anyway, moving on. Next matchup was Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito. in the dream match of the first round, I have to say, that's something I really want to see again.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to pick a winner here. I just want to get popcorn ready. this is like nobody wins it but the fans, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't know where they're wrestling, but if they're like at Ryogoku or something and watching Chibushi trying to do something stupid, it's going to be something excellent, really. I'm going to go with Ibushi because Naito never does well in the New Japan Cup.
Oh, wow. Well, that's news to me. I was going to pull for Ibushi because I'm a Ibushi guy and I'm just really rooting for him with this whole, post Omega era that he's in New Japan right now. So
yeah, that's the thing. I'm kind of wondering if he's ever just going to disappear off to World Elite. Because it's Kota and just wake up one morning and go, I'm off to Florida. I'll be back next Thursday. and then find himself somewhere in Kansas City and lost meandering somewhere. Texting Kenny going, I can't find Disneyland. Anyway, moving on. Evil versus Zack Sabre Jr. in what has become a bit of a signature matchup in New Japan Pro Wrestling in the last couple of years. I kind of think Zack's got to defend the championship really well and go further. So I kind of like, I'm going to say Zack Sabre Jr.
Man, I was going to go with Evil.
No.
Although I just don't... At this point, New Japan is hardly ever smart money to bet against Sabre. But, I really dug some of the stuff over the last couple of years, that I've seen from Evil and just that whole character and just him in general. So I'm going with Evil.
Okay. Next matchup is a match you won't like, but there you go. Togi Makabe of GBH goes against Colt Cabana.
Got to pick one. I think I'm going to go with Makabe here.
Bit of Unchained Gorilla action for you, is it there, Marcus?
Yeah.
I honestly, in the first round, I want to pick Colt against Makabe. I would have actually stuck him against Suzuki because they had a match in the Global Honored tournament a couple of years ago that was outstanding, and I'd like to see them two together again.
Colt and Suzuki.
You can go find it on YouTube, mate. It is absolutely stunning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Colt has to go like full-on World of Sports to deal with Suzuki's like submissions and stuff, and it actually works really, really well. You wouldn't think it would, but it's Minoru friggin' Suzuki, so it's gotta be great. Anywho, I'm gonna go with Colt Cabana, just because I'm gonna go with Colt Cabana. No particular reason. I just think they've clearly paid a lot of money for him, so they're probably gonna keep him hanging around. Satoshi Kojima versus the aforementioned Minoru Suzuki in the first round. Two guys who had quite a bit of magic in recent weeks, and kind of Suzuki's bringing the fire out of Kojima. What are your thoughts on this one, Marcus?
This is gonna be another fun one. But I gotta go with Suzuki myself, and I think we skipped one.
Oh, we did skip one. I do apologize. Yes, Tori Yano and Davey. I'll give you my prediction on that one. I think Suzuki's gonna get it, just because I think he's got longer legs for a tournament kind of format, and seeing who he could run against next would be really interesting. Yeah, Tori Yano versus David Boy Smith. Got to be Tori Yano. Sorry, Harry. You're one of my Twitter followers, but I got to go with Toru. Chaos forever. Marcus, your thoughts?
Again, it's smart money to not, to bet on Sabre. And at this point, Yano, because you just the guy just finds a way to win.
Yeah, and because that sets up a second round of Colt Cabana versus Tori Yano if it all comes off.
Yeah.
And that kind of like that points things towards things for me. I kind of like see Cabana versus Yano in the second round as something quite special. Only me would see that. Don't get me wrong, but I think it could be interesting. All right then, the 16th match and the final match of the first round, Hirooki Goto versus Sanada. That's going to tear you up, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm saying the only true loser here is me. This is talk about a rock and a hard place right here. Man, I gotta go, and this is gonna shock True Penny fans. I'm gonna go with Sanada. Usually 100% go on Goto, but I gotta go with Sanada.
I can't imagine what Christy's going through, because this is kind of like her nightmare hell. It's like all her favorites against all her favorites.
Definitely going to be a great match, but I gotta put it out on Sonata.
Okay, then. Well, that pretty much wraps up our coverage for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think we've covered everything that happened in the last week except the stuff that possibly happened today. I think stuff happened today, but we can't do that. We'll probably have a look at that next week. Actually, thinking about this, we might not actually get to the anniversary show this week for next week's show, but we will definitely start our coverage of New Japan Cup in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you very much for your time today, Marcus.
No, man, thank you for having me on. This was another fun.
Okay, and you can find him at Paradox Kid. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show at Troopany Show. If you are a fan of me and would like to hear more of me, I was on the podcast Music of the Mat this week. I was talking with them about Joshi theme tunes, and you hear me talking about music with Andrew. It was a lot of fun to do. I'd like to thank those guys and the guys at Voices of Wrestling for having me. You can also follow us at Troopany Show on Twitter. You can follow us on Patreon, The Troopany Show. This week, we will have Freelands Wrestling Rewind, where he'll be talking to Tony, or Kat, or Humza, or Dara about wrestling in North America. There's a lot of things to talk about as we're building up to WrestleMania, so we'll see what goes on there. And you will find us next week when we are back on this very channel. Take care, have a good week, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye!